it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we are rolling, baby. Halfway home here on a hump day. Happy October, by the way, everyone. It is October 1st. Wake me up when September ends. Well, it's over, baby. It's done. And J.K. Jonathan Kuminga has returned to the Bay.
Dude, I hate you guys.
The snort gets me every time.
You
Two
know where
years,
I went?
$48.5 million, Joe. J.K.'s back.
You said it's October 1st. It and, is. I'm going to go guru on you, okay?
Oh, this
like
could go
Michael
many
Jackson,
ways.
We went to the Scream store.
Scream store?
Yeah.
But what is that?
Thriller, you know, Scream, yeah.
Spirit Halloween?
Yeah.
The Warriors will not be Spirit Halloween because they can bring in all their players
it's
now.
It's the first time ever that I've been to the Halloween store down in Serramonte, and they actually had, like, everything there. Because I went in September. It's the first time I brought the little guy and my mom.
Was
my
this,
mom
what
and
is
I
it,
both.
A spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
oh, there's
had,
some scary stuff in there that, yeah.
Was, he wasn't startled by anything. Until my mom put on the Michael Myers mask.
Oh, those are scary.
And then came around the corner and, like, did the boo, and he, like grabbed me. He might be Bluey this year. I'm not sure.
Well, that's cute. I think we're doing Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm going to be Jack Skellington, I believe.
Oh.
Benny is going to be someone in there. I got to check. It's not going to be Peppa Pig, which Nora would want to be every single day of all time, which is, by the way, for all you parents out there that have to get tortured listening to Peppa Pig,
so
I'm so sorry and I feel your pain.
Look, had enough.
Absolute
Kuminga
worst.
Finally signed a deal with the Warriors, and we're going to get all into it. I have a simple question, though, this morning. When is the right time to go get the pumpkins?
Now. You can do it now. You wait till October, but if you're going to carve them, you got to do it late, because those things will get moldy real fast. The pumpkin, if you're just going to leave it out as a decoration, you can go get now. I've been through a lot of this. You go get the pumpkin at the pumpkin patch, go have fun with the kids. Those pumpkins will last all the way through the rest of this month. But if you're going to carve them, you got to do it like a couple days before, otherwise it'll get gross and moldy. And
I second everything you're saying.
Yeah.
Is October the most underrated month?
Underrated.
I think it's a pretty awesome month. So I would say it's properly rated because it's an awesome month.
I'm more of a November guy personally, because that's when we get deep in the nitty gritty of football and basketball. But I don't hate October.
October's the best sports month. Bar none, I think.
Yeah. But it's not the best sports weekend of the year. That's the Masters weekend of the year.
That was last weekend.
Which could also be Labor Day, which could also be Memorial Day, depending on how me and Carter are feeling.
People love their October baseball, so I understand that aspect of it. But I've been so down bad here in the Bay when it comes to October baseball.
That.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sam, I can't really get excited about it. You see the Dodgers yesterday, by the way? Almost choked that thing in the eighth inning. Have bullpen. I did pick them to win the World Series, but after watching that bullpen in the eighth, maybe I'm going to reverse the truck here a little bit.
Well,
maybe.
Look, you've got the Giants with a managerial opening. You've got the Niners. You know, everyone's hurt. I mean, just everyone.
Everything.
You want to talk about the spirit store. They need to lift their spirits to get ready for the Rams tomorrow. So they're playing the Rams in L.A.
Rams
tomorrow.
Rams are frauds to me. Even though they won the damn Super Bowl, they were frauds.
They're frauds.
Damn it.
I hate you guys. And then you've got the Golden State Warriors that are being assembled right now. It feels very Transformer-like, where everyone's coming together, and Optimus Prime, a.k.a. Steve Kerr, is rallying the troops.
I like more of Power Rangers, when they all had to get together to make the big Power Ranger.
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr is that little robot, or the guy. In,
well, the Dinobots did that, too.
The Dinobots? Dinobots?
Yeah, the Dinobots were bad. Dude. They were awesome.
Dinobot? What is Dinobots?
Well, it was the Dinosaur Transformers.
Oh, but was it a part of the Transformer universe?
Yes.
Okay, it wasn't like Digimon to Pokemon kind of thing.
No.
Where, like, none of, like, the cool kids would watch, like, you know, like Digimon. Those are the nerds. No offense to those of you who liked it. 888-957-9570. We are diving deep into the Golden State Warriors, and Steve Kerr had some very interesting comments yesterday, Joe. I said on the front end, you know, I think Steve Kerr is under the most pressure this year and has the toughest task, more so than any other head coach in the NBA. Oh, but the Knicks. Oh, but the Lakers. Oh, but no. Steve Kerr has got three superstars that are 35 years or older, and they're all starters. Oh, and by the way, you're adding another starter that's 39, going on 40, and Al Horford. But then you got some young guys that you want to lean on, some youth. Moody, Pajemski. You got Jonathan Kuminga now back into the fold. What's Trace Jackson Davis and Quentin Post's role going to be this year? You bring back D'Anthony Melton. What's his status at? What's the body look like there? Seth Curry, it's great. Now there's, I'm seeing some different reports, and we got Nick Friedell joining us in about 23 minutes, covers the team for The Athletic. Cousin Nick is back in the Bay. Can't wait to talk about it all with him on the River Islands guest line. I guess what they might have to do with Seth is like an exhibit, and I'm not going to exhibit the rapper, but exhibit like 9 or 10 or something contract where you like bring him in through training camp, but then you waive him, bring him back in a month. I don't know the exact details of it, but we'll ask Nick about it because it seems a little complicated, and I want him to make it not complicated. But Seth Curry will be here for training camp and some preseason games. That is cool. Steph Curry gets to play with his brother on the Chase Center floor as a teammate. That's pretty freaking awesome, and I'm excited about that. Right? Like, that's a cool moment.
It's super cool. Yeah. I mean, that's like the coolest.
It's the coolest.
I mean, and it's authentic. Like, they both have earned it, unlike, you know, Bronny and LeBron, which is just fabricated.
Oh, stop. You would relish at the fact playing with LJ in some intramural baseball league.
But that would be organic.
Stop it.
That would be legit.
The Shasky and LJ show in the morning roast.
Hey, Bronny had some moments last year. Some. The golf swing looked good in this offseason. It's all about I could say about that, but, you know, there's that. 888-957-9570. By the way, Lakers, Warriors this Sunday, preseason game one. Can't wait for that. Skinny Luka, LeBron back. Hey, Jonathan Kuminga, are you going to stand up, Warriors fans, going to the game and give JK a cheer when he gets announced? Like, where are Warriors fans at this morning? JK is here. You're bringing in all these players.
I don't know about standing ovation.
No?
Well, it's a preseason game.
Yeah, but it's going to be fun. See, I do like basketball preseason because they play their stars, though. I've been to many a preseason game at Chase Center.
Run.
No, but like, I will actually get to see the players that are going to be playing in the regular season play on the preseason game, which is something for me. I can't expect that going to a Niners-Raiders game. They're like, oh, great, I see Brock for a drive. Awesome. See ya. Like, I spent all the money for that? So there is something to be said about going to a preseason game. No, there's no stakes. That's why it's fun, too. I love taking the little ones to those games because there's no high stakes. No one's getting messed up at a preseason game. And if you are, get a life. Everyone's having a good time, and I can just watch the stars play. It's an exhibition game. So, and how's it going to look? This is where you start tinkering with certain lineups. This is where you are. If you are Steve Kerr, where do you bring in Jonathan Kuminga? How do you use Brandon Pajemski, Moses Moody, this minute allocation? This is where it all starts to happen. Training camp this week. And I am so grateful of the fact, if I'm a Golden State Warriors fan, that JK didn't miss any training camp time. That these guys, the Al Horfords, the Anthony Meltons, these guys coming in aren't missing any time. That's important.
Do you need to hear from them before you're ready to move on?
Jonathan?
And assume that he's in? I'm just asking the audience, you, everyone in general. Does anyone care what he has to say? Do we want to hear from him right now?
That's a good question. And what would you want to hear from him if he is to speak to the media?
I don't need to hear anything from him. I just assume that he's going to be like he's always been, which is ready to go.
He's going to come in and say, hey, I love playing for the Warriors. I want to be a Warrior for life. This was negotiations. I'm all in on this season. Let's go. Let's work together. And I hope we can win a championship. There you go. Simple as that. And then they're going to ask a bunch of different questions. How are you feeling about this? What's your relationship like with that person, with this coach, whatever? And he's probably going to say, it's all fine, it's all good, you know, it is what it is, let's go for it. That's, I think, what fans are hoping for. What you don't want is what Stephen Curry talked about, you know, making or breaking the season if you bring in a certain attitude to the locker room. That is now where we are at, and what we don't want to see is a disgruntled locker room, and it's stemming from Jonathan Kuminga.
I don't think that's
what's going to happen either, But that is what cannot happen, is what I'm telling
you,
Joe.
Sure, sure. I mean, like, but normally in these situations, guys understand what's going on, and they're professional, and they go about it in the appropriate way, because they also know that, like, guys talk. And, you know, whatever you do here is going to permeate throughout the league.
You want to hear from Stephen Curry? I know we talked about all the Jonathan Kuminga angles, but where's Steph on with this roster right now? Here's what he had to say a couple days ago at Media Day.
With this last little piece that needs to settle, I think I'm extremely happy with a different look. You know, we're just trying to carry momentum that we have from last year. Understanding getting through an 82-game season is the challenge for every team, but especially a veteran team. But the way that we finished and the record that we had, and obviously before I got hurt second round, like, we were a relevant threat. And I think we've gotten, you know, better. Tough to lose Loon. Like, that's a big deal, knowing what he meant to our franchise. But we have a lot of pieces that are going to have an opportunity to take that next step, you know. Like, every NBA season, I said the same thing last year, probably at the podium right here. We started 12-3, and then all hell broke loose for a good couple months. So, like, you can only do what you can to control just your mentality going into the year. And I think it's really optimistic and positive around here, and that's how it should be.
Did anyone ask him about his offseason in terms of the actual hamstring?
I don't think they did about his health, because I think we all assume that he's fine. We can get on that, though, in the back to see if he mentioned
anything.
It's
just something that I think about, you know, those injuries to end the year. Sometimes we kind of forget about them, and we don't realize that they do linger into the offseason, and there's just a change in maybe how you go about it, or precaution that you might do to avoid injury in the future.
Well, remember the talk of the playoff series in the Western Conference semis against the T-Wolves, that had the Warriors just won a game after, you know, the initial one, that they would have extended, Steph would have come back. That's what the rumors were, that he was going to return.
I'm iffy on that.
I know, I hear you, but that was what they were talking about. So that tells me, Joe, that if he was going to be able to come back in that series, that it was probably... This is probably a big number.
Well, remember, they were more than rumors. Steph confirmed that that was the, quote, plan.
That was It was the plan. We don't know if it would have happened. We would have had to have seen it come to fruition. Never got that opportunity. You lost four straight, and the rest was history. But it's a fair question. I mean, it goes back to these guys getting older, man. Like, the fact that you blew that 3-1 lead in that first round, that contributed to more wear and tear on the soft tissue, and it's going to be something to monitor.
Losing to San Antonio at the end of the year.
I know. You could go to somebody, the Harrison Barnes, the Clippers overtime loss. Yeah, you're kicking yourselves with how it ended, but let's remember how you got there. It was a lot of fun basketball. We were having a blast. Joe, our first show together on the new iteration of the Morning Roast, me taking over for Bonte, me and you, we were reacting to Luka Doncic in that trade, and that craziness. And then that was the week of the Super Bowl, by the way. And then the Super Bowl happened, and then Jimmy Butler came to the Warriors. But oh wait, before that, there was rumors, oh, Kevin Durant, you know, we have Anthony Slater saying he's leaning. Hey, if he had was a betting man, yeah, maybe Kevin Durant's going to come to the Warriors. Wait, what? But then you get the blue balls of not getting KD, but you settle for Jimmy. Then you go on this massive run, and then you win the first round of the playoffs. You're feeling good. You're getting Ant-Man. You're getting Julius Randle. Oh, my God. Then Steph gets hurt. Jonathan Kuminga plays well. It was just a whirlwind, and it was just in a matter of months. You had to just take a deep breath and take a step back, and that's what we did, and that's what we're coming back to right now, Warriors fans. You've able to absorb everything that has happened these last few months post-playoffs. How are we feeling about this team and this roster and going forward? And your question marks are what? 888-957-9570.
I'm not going to think about this once the practices start going and games start happening. So I'll just ask you this right now.
Ask it.
You think Kuminga was happy with the way it played out in terms of his agent?
Probably not. Like, happy is not the word I would use, but, you know, I think he's going to accept it. He has to.
Would you say that the agent did his job? I'm not sure I have an answer. I'm just asking.
Well, I would need to know at the outset what JK told, or JK's team told Aaron Turner what he wanted.
Like, well, he told us, the audience, and anyone who would listen, that they would not accept a team option one-year essential deal.
Now, was that of Aaron Turner's doing, saying that to JK? Did JK
I'm just
come
going off
that?
What he said.
No, I understand.
On every podcast.
But it's, I have a hard time, I guess, and I'm not trying to sound like a you-know-what here and not answering the question, but I don't know what those conversations are like between JK and the agent. Like, there's a big give and take here, and that's why I have a hard time saying, oh, it was JK that took a big fat L. Well, what if the agent just didn't know what the hell he was doing? Like, is that JK's fault? I was like, well, he's the one that hired him. I was like, yeah, sure, but maybe he doesn't after this. Maybe that's the proof is in the pudding, Joe. Maybe he moves on from him after this, this debacle, if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah, time will tell.
Time will tell. What's the word that you would, like, I don't think he's happy about it. No, I don't.
Probably underwhelmed overall.
Yes, underwhelmed. How about disappointed? He's probably disappointed is how it played out.
What if it was day 92? It was September 30th when the deal finally got agreed upon. What if it was July 1st as opposed to June 30th?
I think we'd look at it differently.
What do you mean?
I think fans would look at it differently because they've had a couple months to just exhale from the JK saga and be like, okay, now it's training camp. JK's back. This whole thing's been settled for a month. We don't have to talk about it anymore. Because we would have already been talking about it. Had he settled in July, we'd have been talking about the team itself and the roster going forward.
Probably.
We would have been talking about Al Horford and that addition. We would have been talking about D'Anthony Melton a little bit more. You know, the Seth Curry acquisition now. We would have been talking about, you know, the rookie, Will Richard. What are you going to get from Will Richard? What are we going to get from Pajemski? What are we going to get from Moses Moody, Guy Santos, Quentin Post, Trace Jackson? We would have been talking about all that other stuff. But we haven't been. We've been talking about Jonathan Kuminga. So, yes, it would have mattered how we talked about the team, Joe. But I don't know if it would have mattered for the team itself, if that makes sense. I don't like, because they're all going to be there for training camp now, right? It's all good.
So then, okay, even if he didn't lose anything financially, do you think he lost a little something to a certain segment of fans?
Maybe.
And maybe he doesn't care. Maybe it's irrelevant. Maybe most people don't care. I don't know. I always find these stalemates very interesting.
Well, that's why I'm kind of asking where the fan base is on Jonathan Kuminga right now heading into the season. 888-957-9570.
I see a lot of people like saying, like, A, the team won. B, the, you know, Kuminga won. See, it's a win-win. Like, I'm seeing the responses all across the board. And just as a Warrior fan, I feel like for right now, I'll take it.
That's kind of where
I'm
at,
too. All right, let's go. Let's see what we got. Let's do it. We need him. Let's go.
Let's get this guy into the building, which they did. Let's get him practicing with his teammates. Let's figure this thing out as a team right now. And that's what Steve Kerr's going to have to do. That's what the leaders on this team are going to have to do. That's what everyone is trying to do right now in that Warriors organization, is getting on the same page. And if they could do that, that's going to be a major feather in the cap of this organization. Getting on the same page as a roster going forward is going to be a major.
It is wild
here.
To me that we spent 90 something days talking about a guy who I'm not 100% sure will crack the top seven of their rotation every night.
Well, we'll see.
Like, I'm not sure. I don't know where he falls.
How's it going to look? How's it going to look? And that's why I'm very curious to see even a preseason game, Joe. As we talk about the preseason with the Niners and what are you looking for in like a Pearsall or a Michael Williams, I'm curious to see how Jonathan Kuminga looks at some of these other players. I get it. It's an exhibition. But just getting out there in front of the people goes a long way.
Just having fun with it.
Have fun.
If it's a pie chart.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
why
it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You love your
Who's got the bigger slice of winning? Dunleavy or Aaron Turner, the agent?
I guess because you had the team option attached to it, and it was a one-and-one there. I guess if we're going to do the winning and losing, I guess Dunleavy. But
this feels as close to 50-50 as I can think of.
I hear a lot of people saying, like, well, if this was always on the table, then he could have taken it months ago, so this is obviously an L. But then, as you mentioned, Joe, like, what's the biggest difference between a month or two ago than now?
Well, frustration.
That's it. How I feel as a fan. That's the biggest difference.
Well, I'm assuming the other players on the team aren't agitated by it. But again, we got to let it play out.
I guess the heaven forbid we didn't get Al Horford and DeAnthony Melton, their NBC Bay Area little graphics and little things on Media Day. That was what was really devastating for everyone. JK not being there to do the rejoins for the morning roast on 95.7 The Game. We already have one, so we're good. Hopefully we get that rejoin with DeAnthony Melton. Oh, actually, we might already have that. And Al Horford, that's the one I need. I need Al Horford saying, now back to the morning roast. So hopefully that gets done. That is what I'm looking forward to. And Will Richard and Alex Toohey as well. Pat Spencer, maybe. Can we get a Pat Spence one? That'd be nice. Before we get to Nick Friedell in about 10 minutes, AJ is in L.A. Hi, wants AJ. To talk about Jonathan Kuminga. What's up, AJ?
What's going on? Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I don't really think people expect to hear anything. Well, I don't expect to hear much from Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, if you look through the 4 years he's been in, Golden State, you can't really pick five times you actually heard from the guy. So in terms of the expectations of when he get here, in terms of a press or press interview or whatever it may, the media may get, he shouldn't have to say anything. I mean, just think, Lathrop and Kerr or Dunleavy, they didn't even show up to media day. So really, should he even show up or have anything to say to the media? I mean, let's just, roll the ball on the court and let's hoop. Let's just get the game going. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care much for the soap opera. I just want to watch basketball. That's it.
I think I think you speak for a lot of people.
It sounded like AJ was about to cry there at the end. It's like, oh my God, I just want to. He sounded like we played it the other, or we didn't play it, but when John Gruden was fed up with Antonio Brown, please stop this bleep. Just play football.
Did you guys see the video John Gruden put out yesterday?
Oh God, what?
He is begging for the Arkansas job. He goes, I know where to find $26 billion. There's a place overseas. It's like, wait a minute. You're going the Phil Mickelson route in college football?
Oh, no. I thought he was going to do the flag football. Is he going to be one of the coaches?
It's the same source of money. We're talking about the same source of money. Like, he's like, I can rebuild Arkansas football. And I was like, dude, my nephew plays for the baseball team. Start. Help throw some money toward the baseball team. Maybe it'll trickle toward our family.
Bring back Bobby Petrino. Why not with the neck brace? Alex is in Chicago.
Hi,
also
Alex.
Wants to talk about the Warriors roster. What's up, Alex?
Yo, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Oh, we got you, brother. What you got?
Yeah, man. I just want to talk about, the offseason, what they were able to do to the rosters. And I got to say, man, I'm kind of disappointed. And here's why. Once again, this looks like a situation where it's a roster overload. So it's like we have all these guards. But it's like, how are we really going to use them, and how are we going to really implement them, right? That's going to be a problem going into the season. The second thing is DeAnthony Melton. Like, is he going to be – how do we know that he's going to be healthy past the play-in tournament?
We don't.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm very concerned about his health. I don't think he's going to make it to – I really don't think he's going to make it to the playoff season, right? So, like, I love the addition of Steph Curry, right? His Steph Curry's brother, great shooter. Love that. That's going to be very fun to watch. But my question for him is, can he be a point guard? You know what I'm saying? Can he kind of fill in a point guard role at some point? You know, so it's just like, the overall grade of the trades and everything and everybody that they ended up signing, I got to give it a D+, man. It's I don't think we did much. Very excited. I'm still 100% excited because anything.
That's a good question. What did you want from this Golden State Warriors offseason? If you didn't get it, because their big move was Jimmy Butler. That was at the trade deadline. So you have to view it that way. That was their big move.
Yeah, but like, just hypothetically, is this team better? Like, I just read you a Steph, Pods, Jimmy, Dre, Horford, Quinn Post, TJD, Buddy Hield, Curry, Moody, that's the other Curry, Guy Santos, GP2, Melton, and Kuminga. Is that team better than, I have to subtract either Moody or Hield and Kuminga, and then I bring in Malik Monk.
This is how I view it.
I would rather have this scenario than this hypothetical Kings trade.
Correct.
And saying goodbye to Moody or Hield and Kuminga for Malik Monk.
You got a little update, Carter?
Yeah, Slater just tweeted this. Jonathan Kuminga is flying to the Bay Area today. I'd anticipate his first practice with the Warriors tomorrow. Expectation is Al Horford and D'Anthony Melton will sign and be at practice today, which starts in a couple hours.
There you go. It's great. It's all working out. It's all coming together. JK back at practice tomorrow. You got D'Anthony Melton, Warriors legend, back here in the Bay. Al Horford back. And guess who else is back in the Bay, Joe? Guess who's back? Nick Friedell is back covering the Dubs for The Athletic. And he's coming up on the other side, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. You insert Mac Jones, who might be...
What you gonna do, brother?
Who's 2-0, by the way, for the Niners this year. Might be 3-0 if he wins tomorrow, if he is the starter. And what a hell of a win it would be. But it was a win yesterday, regardless. For who, I don't know. Maybe for the fans, maybe for the team. But Jonathan Kuminga is back as a Golden State Warrior. Nick, good morning. Where do you want to begin with JK? Where should we begin as Jonathan Kuminga signs a 2-year, $48.5 million contract with a team option on year two?
Oh, guys, it's so good to hear you and be back in the Bay. And Spadone, as far as starting with the Kuminga stuff, at least for now, it's over. I mean, I'd take everybody in that Warriors building was just so sick of the daily, all right, what's going on, what's happening. I don't think anybody thought it would reach the point that it got to, and now it's finally done, and we can all move on with the business of basketball for the time being. But, guys, the issue here is I don't think anybody still sees this as some kind of long-term marriage. It's very, very possible that we're sitting here in January before that deadline, the trade deadline in February, and Kuminga may be elsewhere, but at least for the moment, everybody can get into, all right, here's the way this team is going to be built. Everybody getting to camp and focus on trying to figure out the best way to go and try to win another title. But I think the relief is the biggest takeaway, because the storyline and what occurred over the last few months and the agent going on the media tour, it just got so, so old, not only for people discussing it in the media, but I think the fan base, and I think internally for the Warriors themselves. So there's a lot there. It's over for now, and let's just get the games going.
So you know Jimmy Butler quite well for a variety of reasons. You've known Draymond Green and Steph Curry for quite some time. Did you get the sense that they were aggravated by the whole situation, not by any one individual?
I think that the frustration, Joe, in reading between the lines on Media Day, especially with a couple of things Steph said. I think there were lots of times where all those guys must have been looking at each other, especially as Aaron Turner was doing all those interviews in the last few weeks, like, oh, my God, come on. Now, I'd say this, having been around those guys, especially Jimmy, for so, so long, they understand what this is. This is all about getting the best deal that you can. Every player, especially a young player, goes through it. I remember years ago being in Chicago watching Jimmy go through exactly that. He turned down 40-plus million. There was a difference between what he wanted and what the Bulls were willing to give him. It was just a few million dollars. And he said, no. I'm going to bet on myself. He did. He became an all-star, won the Most Improved Player of the Year award, and then got a max contract. But the difference is he wasn't into restricted free agency yet. That is where Kuminga found himself, and there just didn't seem to be much of a market, at least of teams that were willing to give up much to make the deal happen. We'll see how it plays out over the next few months. We'll see what kind of season he can put together and where exactly he fits in the rotation here. But specific to your question, Joe, yeah, I think that for Steph, who's trying to win one more title, he's watching all this going, oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. And, you know, as much as Draymond and Jimmy and I think Steph as well want to be there for Kuminga and support him, the idea that this could continue to go on and on and on for months, I don't think anybody really felt good about what was going on heading into the big reveal of the season on Media Day.
On the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. He also covers the Warriors for The Athletic, and we are so happy to have him back here in the Bay. It's cousin Nick Friedell. And Nick, now what with the Golden State Warriors? So Kuminga's here. Obviously, we know Horford heading over. D'Anthony Melton, we just got the update that he's still rehabbing. Don't expect him to be a part of the team. I mean, the playing in games, I should say, in the early portion of the season. Seth Curry, I guess, is going to be here for training camp with the Warriors now. What are the Warriors looking like roster-wise heading into preseason game one on Sunday?
Well, Spadone, I think the key, if we take a step back real quickly, is I think when it's all said and done now that the roster is coming together, Mike Dunleavy in that front office actually did pretty well. I mean, this team is improved from where they were a year ago. They are improved in the fact that Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy now get a full training camp. They'll be together. They'll get Horford in here. They have more depth. They feel good about not only the core pieces, but how the rest of the roster is fitting together. Again, so much of this, and this is a point that I think needs to be hammered home. The focus is on Kuminga, not only for the chatter around what's happening, but now it'll be a constant focus for the next few months because either he comes out and plays really well and he fits into the role that Kerr gives him, or it doesn't really work, and then it's like, all right, well, where's it going to end up? What deal is going to happen, and what is that going to look like to get the extra pieces in the fold as they go into the second half of the season and the playoffs? So there are a lot of moving pieces as far as what it looks like in that first game coming up here in the next few days. We're going to see. I mean, Kerr already said there's going to be times where he sits guys for a game, as he probably should in the preseason as guys are ramping back up. I'm curious to see just how much that he puts Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy out there so they can continue to find their rhythm because, as you guys well know, they didn't even play that much together once Jimmy came over because of the different injuries and the ups and downs of the lineups. But I think when you pull back, the Warriors feel real good about where everything got to once things really got set. And that optimism, I feel like, is only going to grow once Horford gets in the fold and they start to see how everything fits on the floor.
I'm just trying to see where Kuminga slots in playing time-wise. If you had to guess right now, how would they utilize him in the first month or two of the season?
Joe, I'm not really sure as we sit here now. I'm with you. I mean, I think he's going to be a piece off the bench. What does that look like? How many minutes? I really don't know right now. What I would tell you is if you're Kuminga, obviously he has to take advantage of whatever opportunity is given. But in a lot of ways, what it reminds me of is that kind of guy in the bullpen in baseball who can start, and he can come in relief, and he can just give you innings. Because I think we'd all agree as we're sitting here now, Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy are not playing 82. I mean, I think everybody'd be happy if they got to like 65 or 70, which means that there's going to be plenty of opportunities at some point, you would figure, for Kuminga to come in to showcase what he wants to do to score. But the problem, and this goes to your point, is for a team that is trying to win one more title and trying to come together with new pieces on the roster, Kuminga's and what he wants, it just doesn't line up to what the Warriors need. What they need from him is to come in, be a solid presence off the bench, provide a spark offensively at times, but they need him to defend and rebound and do some of the things that – you weren't always sure he was going to do night after night consistently. So it remains to be seen how it all works. I think Kerr and his staff are trying to figure that out, but with the way, again, that the roster is being filled out, it's a good problem for them to have because they've got a lot of different pieces to work with, and they've got a lot more depth, at least on paper, than it seems like they've had in the last couple of years.
They've got a lot of young guys, and if I took Kuminga and Pods off the table, of Quinton Post, Moody, Richards, TJD, and Guy Santos, who needs to take the biggest leap forward for this team?
I've always liked Moody's game. I think he has shown plenty of flashes, and the consistency, Joe, has been there at least at times a little bit more in the last year or so. But I think he can take another step, and if he does, I think he provides a lot of what the Warriors need on a lot of different directions. So out of that group, there's a lot of young talent. Kerr is trying to find a way to make the most out of all the different lineup options he's going to have. But out of all those names, the one that pops out to me the most is Moody, because the coaching staff has always really liked him. They hope that he can take that next step, and if he's able to and provide even more consistency than he's shown, I think he could be a really solid presence for this group this year.
Odyssey NBA insider and covering the Warriors for The Athletic, Nick Friedell joining us now on the River Islands guest line. And Nick, you mentioned the coaching staff. A lot of question marks right now regarding Steve Kerr and his contract. Obviously, he's heading into the final year of this deal. He spoke about it yesterday for a little bit. What do you make of Steve Kerr this season and his future in Golden State?
Yo, I thought he was pretty honest yesterday. I thought he was pretty open about the fact that he's at a stage in his career where he can just say, all right, let's figure it out at the end. And that takes a...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Certain amount of confidence, not only within himself, but a confidence within the front office with Dunleavy and Joe Lacob and the relationship that they've built through time. But I took him at his word. Let's see where everything goes at the end of the year. As a caveat, though, guys, I've listened to Kerr talk about how much he loves coaching Steph Curry for years and years. Publicly, privately, to all different types of people in the media, he has said repeatedly how much he enjoys coming to work because he knows that the tone he wants to set is set by Steph Curry. So at least for me, I don't see a way that Steve just walks away from this team with Steph still at the peak of his powers or close to them, unless something pretty catastrophic happens this season. I would expect Kerr to be here at least for the foreseeable future with Steph.
All right. They've got a lot of holes. We know that. I am most worried, even more so than age, about size. Defending the rim, defending the block, rebounding, finishing easy buckets around the rim. How can they make that a strength of this team, or is that just going to be a weakness all year?
I think it can be a strength, Joe, if they use the quickness that they do have, at least in the system, to get up and down. I know that changes a little bit with the Jimmy dynamic because he's just not that type of player exactly, but he brings his own dynamic, which they're quite happy with. I see the point about size. It's a conversation the three of us have had with this team for a while. And we'd also throw in that without the safety net of Looney, who, as we know, Steve Kerr absolutely loves, that will be interesting to see how that plays out, too. I'd say all that and put it in the context of the Warriors still feel really good that at their best, they can play with absolutely anybody. And they feel that way because they have Steph and they have a new, fresh Jimmy who's healthy again. Now, whether or not that stays the case all year for all those veteran guys, we'll see. But Joe, I understand where you're coming from. I understand why the fan base would say, all right, let's see what happens with size. For me, that is still secondary to this team's just old. There's some old dudes in this group. The Horford thing isn't exactly bringing the average age down for everybody. This team is only going to go as far as they can stay healthy every day on the floor. And no matter what happens at the beginning of the regular season or heading into the break, it is all about getting those main guys healthy enough to try and make that run in the postseason. So I think that's the biggest thing to put at the top of the list. And anything else, especially with depth of size, that's something that Dunleavy and his staff can fix coming around February.
Nick, what's the most under-discussed or underrated storyline for you in regards to this team heading into training camp that people should be talking about more?
There's a lot of different directions that we could go there, Spadone, but as I kind of listen to everybody these last couple days and get reacclimated being around some of these new guys, at least for me, the person I'm curious to see what kind of step he can make and what kind of difference he can be is Podziemski. Because if you talk to the people that have been around the team the last couple of years, and I was occasionally kind of floating by and seeing what was going on, Podziemski's very confident in his abilities, but everybody kind of wanted him to rein in his emotions a little bit more. And Kerr flat out said, hey, I expect him to be better talking to the refs and keeping things in check. And at least in the first couple times we've gotten to talk to Brandon, it's kind of like, okay, I know what is being asked of me. I know that there is more for me to do in the league and another step for me to take, especially emotionally on the floor. So I think that's something to watch for because the team and the organization have always believed in his talent. They think he could be really good. It's just kind of a matter of him balancing out being able to showcase that talent and not being able being a guy that can kind of lose it and not get it back when the game is going on or if something happens during the year and he's not finding the success that he wants early. I'm curious to see his progression from start to finish. And I think there are plenty of people in that room that believe that he is one of those guys that can take a new step amongst all the other storylines that are going on, especially at the top with this team.
Nick, you've known Jimmy for quite a while. He called you Nicholas the other day, huh?
It's not all he called me.
Oh, yeah.
Some of that other stuff, I think he was just so got a surprise, like, oh, my God, you're back. It seems to be a feeling I have for all the dudes that I cross paths with. I remember seeing KD and Carter hit me with the drip a couple years ago in Phoenix, and he looks at me, and he's like, man, I got to deal with you again. And then there's a pause, and he's like, ah, oh, it's good to see you, man. How's it going? What's going on? So it felt good to see Jimmy. He's in a good mood. I think the biggest difference between the Jimmy that I first met in Chicago, you know, 10, 15 years ago and the Jimmy that's with the Warriors now is he's just so much more comfortable being one of the faces. He knows how good he is. He knows the work he's put into his game. And there's a reason why he was up there with that huge grin on his face at the podium, guys. I mean, he's wearing 3 diamond earrings in each ear.
I mean, when you charge $78 for a cup of coffee at a pop-up location.
I did buy it.
Hey, in true Warriors fashion, he's got a lot of revenue streams coming through.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of different ways for Jimmy to make a couple dollars. But truly, he's in a really good place. Now, the skeptics out there will say, oh, we'll see how long that lasts. Okay. I have always believed, having covered Jimmy throughout the entirety of his career, he is best suited as that 1A star, especially as he's made his own progression on a Hall of Fame career. Being that guy next to Steph is something that I think is perfectly suited for Jimmy Butler.
What about with Draymond, Nick? Let me interrupt you. What about with Draymond? Yeah. Look, it's one thing to be traded in the middle of the year. They had everything to play for. It's another to go the entire year. And I'm not saying that these two aren't going to love each other, but at some point they're going to butt heads over something, because I just think that's how the two of them are so ultra competitive. Is there any worry about the suspendables, a.k.a. the bad boys, Draymond and Jimmy, just maybe every now and then having a little conflict? Or is that even maybe welcomed?
Joe, I think there's always a little bit of a worry. I mean, when you have the track record of those two guys and what has happened through time, sure. But I would always remind anybody who's like, it's just a matter of time before Jimmy and Draymond blow up. Those guys have known each other a while. They have played on an Olympic team. There is a trust that's been built specifically between those two over a long period of time. So I know the focus is, all right, well, Jimmy Butler came to the Warriors and he's getting adjusted to playing with Steph and Draymond. And, oh, my gosh, Jimmy's had all these blow-ups in all these different places. And Draymond, oh, my God, it's only a matter of time before the techs start. And you think, oh, here we go. I've always thought that those two could work well together on the same team because they are ultra-competitive. They want to win. And Draymond knows full well pre-Jimmy that this Warriors team just wasn't good enough. Now at least they've got that shot that we've been talking about for the last year. So I'm not saying that there's not going to be some kind of drama. There always is, especially with those two characters in the story. But more often than not, I think that their competitiveness and their respect for each other is going to shine through. And that is what will be a driving force if this Warriors team wants to go to where they want to be.
Hey, Nick. We really appreciate the time this morning. Hopefully we get to do it a lot more as this season is getting underway with training camp. First preseason game on Sunday. We're so happy you're back in the Bay. Let's go get a burger, go get some breakfast, whatever. Me, you, Shasky, Carter, Sam. We just can't wait, dude, to hear more of these excerpts after the game with you, Jimmy, Steve, Draymond. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Goodbye, Nicholas.
Nicholas. Yeah, St. Nicholas.
Guys, I really miss you. And truly, like, a shout out to all the people in the Bay that have followed my work for a long time, because having been out and gotten a different perspective the last couple of years, it feels that much better once you get back in. And when you get back in a place like the Bay where there's so many people who care about this team and care about the day-to-day of what's going on, it's cool to be a part of again.
I know they were saying, like, while you were away, they're like, dude, if Nick was a condiment, he'd be extra salt.
Oh, my God. Bonus chip. Bonus chip, baby.
I have to throw in ketchup that I can spill on my shirt. Come on.
I miss you, buddy.
Good to see you all.
See you soon.
See you all soon.
There he goes. Nick Friedell. I have an outro read because he is an Odyssey Sports NBA insider. Nick Friedell, check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and obviously covers the Warriors for The Athletic. And all of that was courtesy of River Island. Islands.
You know, it's so funny. It's so funny how Nick is interpreted by not everyone, but I do believe a segment of Warrior fans. Anything that comes out of his mouth is viewed as, it's negative.
They call him Negative Nick. I think we have a drop that says Negative Nick. No, seriously. Yeah.
I know, but, like, guys, there's enough Homerific radio to go around. There's enough Homerific podcasting to go around.
There's a difference, and I want to be clear here, because Nick gets the bad rap being negative.
I just think he's, like, thoughtful.
There's a difference between being skeptical and being negative.
Yeah,
there is a big
yes.
difference between being skeptical about something and being negative. You could absolutely be skeptical about this Warriors team, just given their age. Like, how could you like that? Yeah, you go right there. Got a lot of old guys. That's what you asked him about. Like, yeah, I'd be skeptical too. Now, they have a lot of things to be excited about. Like, you could be excited about the possibility that Moody, Pajemski, Kuminga all take leaps and You know, a guy like Al Horford is a perfect mentor for TJD, Quentin Post, some of these guys, young guys on the team. There's absolutely a possibility that everything works together this year, total cohesion, and this team can win a title. That is in the realm of possibility. Now, it's a big if, and percentage-wise, it might not be like a greatest... Like, is it going to be as big as the Denver Nuggets or the Oklahoma City Thunder? No. But get Stephen Curry into the playoffs, and things could happen. Well, I saw that last year.
I just find it funny. Like, I can always tell who grew up playing sports and rooting for these teams and who didn't. Because, like, dude, when you love your team, you actually hate on them simultaneously as much as you root them on. As delusional as you might be, you also get so furious with them and so, I don't even know how to describe it, like, down. Like, certain things will happen and you'll just get so down on them.
That's how we come together. It's sick. I know. We do as fans, but we come together.
It's called fandom.
All the tragedies. And, like, that's when you know your fan base. Like, when you see, like, the Giants have been down bad for a minute. So, like, if you see a San Francisco Giants fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.